There's no person in the whole world like you. And I like you just the way you are. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health.
Did you like it?
What is?
STD's plan was to wipe out humanity.
Oh, yeah.
We stopped it this time.
But it'll be back.
Something's coming.
Oh,
us.
Yeah. Something stronger than herpes, even.
Stronger than herpes? That's a great segue into our introducing our podcast.
And anyway.
Stronger than herpes.
Welcome.
Welcome to Did You Reddit?
That sounds like something like the guy Phil Swift would say on an infomercial. Like
Phil Swift?
He's the guy that does that paint on rubber.
Oh my god!
Cuts the bone in half. He's like, it's stronger than herpes, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Says it as an off.
And then
off comment.
I love the commercials that are like, it's stronger than herpes. Stronger than herpes.
Totally.
Like someone asks the incredulous question.
Classic infomercial.
That's right, Cynthia. It is.
It is.
Yes. Let me show you.
Anyway, this is Did You Reddit, weekly podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
Hey, it's my free day down here.
God, I feel so. I got a new mic, and I'm just I wish you could hear what I'm hearing right now.
I bet you
boobs.
Feel a lot like
I feel like I'm on a morning news show.
Yeah, like you, Stevie Wonder voice.
You
like
look
smooth.
You look just like Terry Gross this morning.
Wow.
It blew my mind when I saw Terry Gross for the first time.
You're like, what?
I don't know what I thought she would look like, but she's kind of like a skeletal, short-haired woman.
That's exactly what I thought she would
really?
Look like.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kind
Terry
of blew
Gross.
My mind for
you
whatever
just,
reason.
That was a nice Owen Wilson you just pulled on.
Oh, wow. Wow. Terry Gross, wow.
So, anyway, so... so, this week, we are going to... This is a Dog Boob special.
Because
Dog Boobs has been jaunting around the world lately.
I know, and she's, like totally slacking.
She's been. We have a whole backlog of Dog Boob episodes coming up.
I'm going to be covering the next couple months, guys.
Live from Guadalajara.
So this week, though, we're starting. You want to talk about this very briefly before we get into the top of the week?
So this week, probably by the time you're listening to this, you will be able to go see the new Mr. Rogers Would You Be My Neighbor movie in theaters. This is coming out in theaters. It's supposed to be a beautiful movie, real tearjerker. So we decided to do a little bit more research into the Mr. Rogers fan community. And should I tell what the subreddit is?
Yes.
Okay, get ready. It's the Church of Rogers.
Oh man. I'm so excited for this one.
My religion.
r/the Church of Rogers, not to be mistaken for just Church of Rogers. That's a lame one with like 1,000 people in it. This one has 14,927 subscribers or neighbors.
Neighbors.
Nice.
And then. I mean, we can go through all that stuff, but I think maybe first.
I'm just super excited about that. Pumped for that sub.
Top
Hell yeah!
Week.
Let's get you. Let's. That's proverbial lubricant for your ears. As we
get
as
ready.
We try to get into it. But
don't
first, let's
anywhere.
Talk about post of the week. From
don't
last
go
week.
To college.
Don't
stick
go
around.
To college.
Stick around. Don't go to college. We'll be right back.
Gotta love it.
Anyway, okay, so top of the week. Anything rise to the top for y'all? I saw this one was, man, I love this. This is one of those moments where even though the current administration is throwing us into a fascist state, I saw that a newspaper in Dominican Republic used a picture of Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump.
Oh, that's
talking
amazing.
About Donald Trump.
That's
white
awesome.
People look the same.
That's true. White people all look the same. I mean, it could have been a very innocent mistake, but
that's
I also
hilarious.
I like imagining that there's like just a little bit of like clever malice from like the intern responsible for getting those pictures, you know? Because that's the kind of cool shit that really funny employees do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like guys that like wear shorts to work and you know like don't really like their job and like
oh totally.
They play in all these bands so like they're really only there for money. They'll pull shit like that in all sincerity.
Yeah.
And it
Oh, that's so insane. Jesus.
I love that. I love that a lot. It's so awesome.
I think the other thing that's been happening this week, I mean, obviously there's Trump news all the time, but that issue of like whether he can pardon himself or not,
that's been a
keeps
hot,
coming
hot
up.
Topic.
And Melania is still missing.
Wait, she's missing?
Melania hasn't been seen for like days, like maybe a month now.
That's, I don't want to laugh at that.
What if she's dead or
I think
a host?
I think she's in a timeout. I think they're keeping her on one of those islands that he owns in a timeout.
Yeah.
Just, hey, babe. Or she's getting, I think this is what really happens when they disappear. They're getting plastic surgery and they're in recovery.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because these people have to kind of hide out because those surgeries just cause so much, you know.
I think that
that's
is
right.
A
pooling.
I think that's a really good assumption.
Theory.
Yeah. She totally did.
Somebody like that has to get a nip and a tuck once a year, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Just to keep it all from spilling out.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. The tighter you pull your face, the looser the back of your head gets.
Yeah, you gotta trim that.
That's the problem.
It's called the back head trimming.
I think as three doctors here, I know that anatomically the way it works is your head has a certain volume in it that when you tighten it, it shifts to different parts of your head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it would with a balloon.
For sure. That's how it works.
That's how it works. So every once in a while you have to reshape it so that it goes to like the top of your head and people get used to that. And then you push it to the bottom of your neck.
And much like a balloon, if you were to pop it, her face would get tiny. Mm-hmm. Like when the air came out.
Why didn't she just pop it? Tiny's just, the fucking look.
I know. She should. She should pop it.
She's so cool. I don't understand. Back to the pardon thing. I mean, I still haven't had somebody smart explain how pardons work and why.
Know.
And this keeps popping up on the news, and I go, you guys are kind of burying the initial story. Like the bigger story to me is, how do pardons work? When did they start? Why are they still a thing? And is it just unlimited? And if so, this is going to be that president who sort of breaks it for everybody else.
Yeah.
And then they should change the rule. Like, you should
Agreed.
Get four or two a year.
I know. To make it complete, like, I know Papadopoulos' wife is asking Trump to pardon Papadopoulos.
Well, I think.
And I'm like, why? Like, you can't do that.
Once he's.
You can.
Obviously, he's already doing it, but once you sort of go, like, yeah, I mean, what? Nobody can say no, so fuck it.
I mean, there's a little bit of just decorum, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it traditionally is bad press.
And pardon like a whole lot
a
of
bad
people.
Thing to like pardon like you're like
all bets
I'm
are
gonna
off
pardon
now.
All my homies right
yeah.
And I think yeah, obviously with Trump you're right all bets are off and like decorum is no longer a thing
yeah
but he can't pardon himself like there's a Reddit post I don't know if it's on the top but I saw it last week and I thought it was really interesting about there was a in Reddit like best of there was a post about a guy who did a really thorough breakdown of the legal ramifications of Trump pardoning himself. Like there are some, it's not like the emolument clause, but it's something to that. It's something like that
right.
is already in the rules that's kind of hidden, but says that he can't pardon himself for certain reasons that are directly contradictory. So
there's a good explain like I'm five that breaks it down. I can read it real quick.
Yeah. Why don't you read that really quickly?
President can pardon anybody of a federal crime, whether or not that person has been charged or convicted of the crime. President cannot pardon people charged or convicted of state crimes, which is interesting. So if the state throws a book at somebody, he can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I think
you'll start to see states beef up their prosecution on people.
Cases.
Like a California Democratic state might throw the beef at somebody because they know Trump can't get them.
Because like traditionally it's been the other way around that like federal crimes and federal like indictments are like kind of a bigger deal.
Right.
And now it's like no.
States' rights, man.
I think.
So then one more paragraph. The president's power of communication is absolute. It's part of the system of checks and balances. Specifically, it is a check on the judicial branch. So if a president chooses to pardon someone, it's not something that they can be overturned by a court, Congress, or subsequent president.
God, why do we?
So it's a check and balance, which I get makes sense, but dude, yeah, nobody thought you'd have a Trump.
Yeah, I know. That's it. Shows how unprepared we were as a country.
I know.
For it's. I feel like the way people have been talking about it is that like government hasn't evolved as fast as our society has.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah.
There are, like, basically no laws that are about the internet.
No. No laws. Yeah. And it would because of how fucking useless our government is, it would take years to get any laws made about the internet.
Well, I mean, because there are so many people, especially something like the internet now, where it's so money-oriented.
Yeah.
There's so many people grappling for each side. But, yeah, I think the conversation about federal pardons is interesting, because I think that if I remember correctly, that's part of the reason why the way that some of the Mueller convictions have gone.
Yeah.
They have been convicted in state.
Oh,
so I think that, like,
sneaky.
I want to say that Manafort is not facing federal charges, he's facing state charges.
Ooh.
Or something like that. I'm not sure, but there's...
That's the pushbacks. So that's going to be how you check the check.
Right. So okay. I think that's why, though, very strategically, why they've been pushing for state prosecution. Yeah, I'm almost positive. But
you know what? I will make a quick connection, even though we're not totally ready to talk about Church of Rogers. But it's so easy to get really upset about all of these bad people, and
right.
like Trump and Manafort and all these, like, really corrupt and opportunistic assholes. Yeah. But then, like Mr. Rogers always said, look for the helpers. And, like, it really does help to change your perspective to see there are so many people in our government, too, that are really doing their due diligence about, you know, looking into all of this stuff and trying to build a case and stop it. So, it's like, every time I get super down and I'm the most pessimistic person ever, it is helpful to think of the helpers, you know?
Well, I agree. However, I feel like we constantly need to do a better job at discerning what is a helper and what is a propagandist.
Oh, God.
Because I think that
a lot of people thought Trump was a helper.
Well, a lot of things, people think Trump is a helper. A lot of people thought that, you know, like, Comey is this weird controversial figure for a lot of reasons. But he's also, like, if you hear the way he talks, he's always talking like, I owe it to my country.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I did what I did. It's for my country. I'm helping people. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other side of the aisle, like, Free Day over here, conservative right.
We're a balanced pod.
It's balanced pod.
Yeah.
But I think there are people obviously on the right who think that Comey or fill in the blank person who's just doing their job trying to, like, keep somebody in check is like a dramatic fucking propagandist working for, like, what's his name that everybody always points to in the who's the guy that everybody always said Soros, George Soros.
Oh yeah.
It's like he's working
pulling
for Sora.
All the strings.
Yeah. The Koch brothers, like those people that are like the
totally.
Puppeteers.
Right. So I think I agree with you, but I also think it's a bit of a strange
Speaking
one.
Of you know, civil liberties and civil rights, did you guys vote on Tuesday?
I
was gonna bring
did.
That up. I
that's what's the top of
So I
the
did
week,
I didn't.
And here's get out of here.
Here's
you
why,
can't even
actually.
Talk politics in
here's
here,
why.
Dude.
Well there's a legitimate reason why.
You're probably listening to music as well.
Yeah, I was listening to music.
I was
listening to music. I didn't have time, so I was listening to music. Well, I went into it, so I got up on Tuesday and I was gonna go to the polls, and then I was thinking about why. And I realized that I didn't know anything about any of the issues or the people.
That's when you just guess based on stereotypical names.
That's when you just choose Democrat.
Yeah, that's when you blindly just pick somebody
go,
to affect the democracy based on sole
ignorance.
So you
get your sticker.
Right?
Yeah, that's
the
a
point
Vietnamese name.
Yeah.
And I love Vietnamese food, so ergo,
ergo
I vote
ergo.
For you as a judge.
Right.
Yeah.
So because of that, though, I felt this weird moment of, like, irresponsibility, but not like because I didn't vote as much as because I didn't know what I would be voting for.
Yeah.
I felt just very self-conscious about going in and being like, Gavin Newsom, because I've heard of him before.
Yeah,
right?
Heard of his name on the TV.
Right. And then it just became, I don't know. I just was like, I don't
That's fair.
Want to ignorantly do this. Cause
no.
I feel like it's,
it is,
even though it's my right to vote, it shouldn't be an obligation
no.
that flies in the face of what the decisions that are going to be
yeah,
made.
Yeah, and
it's I think that's
this sounds
that's
like
a problem in itself.
It sounds like the best excuse a kid could give his teacher for why I didn't do his homework.
Yeah,
yeah.
I realized when I looked at it, I didn't know how to do it. So,
and I didn't want to be irresponsible and turn in something that wasn't up to your level.
Yeah. So I didn't
so
do it.
I just chose to not offend you.
Yeah.
Teacher, Mrs. Krabappel.
I know, but it was hard because there was
right.
so
was,
much. Like,
yeah,
it's confusing.
And
yeah.
I didn't start looking into into like all of the stuff until at the like midweek last week, which is not good. But you know, it's helpful when you try to look up everybody, look up like publications,
LA
and
Times
will people, yeah,
who, drop a list
those
of like,
guides.
This is what we think,
yeah, and like you don't vote what they say, but it helps give you a perspective if you're usually aligned with, you know, the LA Times.
The toughest like, ones,
you know what I mean. I didn't vote along LA Times lines or anything, but it's helpful to look
no,
at
I agree.
What these publications.
I agree
are.
With you.
The voting process was very fun.
Right.
Someone in my neighborhood hosted in their garage.
Oh, cool.
It was literally 300 feet away, and I was like, "Well, that's great."
God.
And I went at 7 p.m. because I was just busy all day.
Yeah.
I was up until 8, and I was like, "This is great."
Oh.
I walked over. There was like people in my neighborhood milling about. Like everyone was like in a good mood because they were doing their civic duty.
Yeah.
Everyone had their golden retrievers out. There was like kids playing on bikes in front of the house.
Right.
I was like, "This is fantastic." Go in there, it's this little garage. These little old ladies are running the fill out. My registration wasn't in that huge book because it never, ever is.
Right.
Yeah.
How many Werther's did you get when you left?
Oh, I had like at least a pocket full.
Sugar free.
Yeah. So go in.
For the diabetics.
I have to fill out this other thing because I'm not on the book. And then, you know, that takes 2 or 3 minutes. Give it to this old lady who I swear to God is wearing literally Coke bottle glasses. She cannot see. And she's like, "Hey, go, sweetie." Like,
you're
these
high.
People are old and they're committed and it's kind of great. And I'm like, man, when does our generation like start volunteering for that?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I
probably
think
when we're retired because people are just busy.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, that's
been there
yeah,
for like 12
bored.
Hours.
I mean, but.
So, and they give you your little card. And man, I had to sit there for like 3 minutes just staring, like, wait, how does this work?
Yeah.
Totally.
It's
totally.
Very old fashioned
really
in a way
is.
Where you're. I,
totally.
You slip this card in and has to like go through these two prongs and then you
right.
use this like pen dabber thing,
yeah.
which is confusing.
I know. I love that
but
pen
you,
dabber, but
once you get the hang of it, it's super easy.
Yeah.
But
I mean, better not mess
memory.
Up.
It was really fun. There's definitely some names in there. I was like, I'm not sure,
right.
but I'm going to vote for, and then I'm literally just picking stereotypical
yeah.
names.
Yeah.
And that's, and I don't want to seem like it's a cop out. I mean, I've never not voted, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
In every election I've voted, but I just, for some reason, given everything that's happening in the country and whatever, it almost feels like I should have gone in and just like voted blindly Democrat, but that I just felt like I don't know anything about any of these people. This feels like it's
yeah.
wrong of me to go in and just like fucking pick people for because of some binary
I
absolutist
think,
teamsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I kind of was just like next time it comes around. It's totally my fault for not doing research in advance, of course. But mm-hmm. and even on the day I was researching and I was just like,
it's just
I'm just
yeah.
what's going on here. But
here's my theory.
But in the future, I want to really make an effort earlier
so,
to understand
yeah.
so that if like I know there weren't any. Propositions, right?
What you just said sounds.
I think five.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you just said sounds like an Onion headline.
What?
Next year, I plan on reading
yeah,
my booklet sooner.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's like there's a nugget of truth in that, but it was just.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly in the propositions,
it's
where
a lot
it's
of work
like,
when you're busy as fuck all week, and
oh,
like,
yeah.
you just don't have the time.
No,
but
and nope. It's like it's not in the best interest of our. Governing
right.
people for voters to be informed.
Right.
So like there isn't
right.
some grand campaign to get people
right.
informed about
but there
it.
Should
and,
be.
And there should
there
be.
There should be. There absolutely should be.
Yeah.
And I think that's an opportunity that we all can find. But anyway, so one last thing, which I think this casually segues into our topic for today. The last thing, so this week this week in Reddit Canada has been up there a lot because
mm-hmm.
A, because we're like I don't know why, but we're going into a trade war with our fucking
yep.
best neighbor, right? And you know what's going to end up happening is Canada's just going to get increasingly dope and America's just going to be like, these guys are fucking coolest, and Canada's going to be like, guess what, you can't come in here.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want Americans in here, so
there's another Onion headline, white guy really actually might move to Canada this time.
You know, I've actually been, because I am Canadian, I have dual citizenship.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, I actually only have a Canadian passport right now. I don't even have an American passport.
How?
Oh my God.
Were you born in Canada?
My mom is Canadian. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I think I knew
so my
that.
Mom's from Quebec, so I've spent
like
a lot of time there recently.
This is,
so.
I feel like this is the Americans, but the Canadians, and we just got. Me and
oh,
Dog
yeah.
Boobs over here.
You guys
here.
Had no
you
idea.
You just pulled off the mask. You're like,
just,
I've been
yeah.
Canadian
the
whole
Canadian
time.
The whole
get
time.
Out of here.
I'm running a whole secret program.
It's funny because I don't, growing up, I didn't really self-identify with Canada because my mom, for whatever reason, like my mom is like an immigrant,
Is she French?
To West Virginia. No, she's from Quebec. So
but does she speak French?
She doesn't, but I have an uncle who's an expat who lives in Paris.
Oh, that's that guy that nobody can talk to? Uncle
No, that's Uncle Dave. Dave speaks a little bit of French too, but he lives in Portland.
Oh. Uncle Remy or
Uncle
something?
Pete.
And Uncle
Pete,
Remy, Pete, don't talk to Uncle Remy.
Fucking man. Pete has these, he has five kids and they're all kid geniuses.
Oh God.
And he's just a great dude and he's just a funny, interesting guy. But he moved to Paris, he was like 18 or something. So
he's so cultured. We're such dumb Americans.
Well, I didn't know anything about him growing up. And then eventually my brother and I think when we were teenagers, we were like, holy shit, we have an uncle who lives in Paris. And then we're like, and we're Canadian. What the fuck?
You're simultaneously the most cultured and least cultured at the same time coming from West Virginia.
Oh, I know. Totally. And my mom grew up in West Virginia, but is an immigrant, which is such a strange thing. It's like such an anomalous.
How many ounces of coffee do you think Remy drinks a day? Probably only like two or three. We're drinking like 50.
He drinks a lot. He kind of introduced me to the concept of midday beers when I was in France. So
God. I love that.
It's really so nice. Cool. Anyway,
but they only have one.
They only
Whereas
have
here
one.
We drink till we shoot someone.
That's exactly. Yeah. but the reason I brought that up, so Canada is facing these weird trade tariffs from Trump, and I think Trump argued something about like the War of 1812 for some justification for it, which is fucking absurd.
That was the one war I remember ignoring in school.
Yeah. He claims it was a joke on a phone call, but he sort of dropped a joke like, didn't you guys burn down the White House in the War of 1812? But it was the British, but that's how he said it.
He's an idiot.
So but he doesn't just say jokes. No. They're like taunts, right?
No.
It's how guys would shit talk, like in a sports game. It's like, it was a joke, but I hate you.
Yeah. Right. It's locker room talk.
That's right. And then he grabbed his poontang.
God.
Poontang.
Poon.
Is that word? I feel like that's not on the do not say list.
That one's not offensive
yet.
Because it hasn't been said since 98.
Yeah.
Well, it also doesn't like imply any specific kind of culture or culture that we've beaten down.
It's just a funny name.
It's a funny name. But the other thing about Canada, so they're going to be legalizing marijuana this week.
Amazing.
As a country.
Federally?
Federally. And they're going to be the first country in the G7 to legalize marijuana.
What's England's status on this? I feel like the Queen could get down with a little ripper.
Right?
I think England, my understanding is, well, let's put it this way. So a lot of the things that drive weed legalization, it seems, is the agriculture and the potential for making money based on growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong, but I haven't really heard anything about, what does that sound? These headphones are nuts because I can hear, I was like, that's coming from somewhere in space.
Weird.
Like,
I know it's I could hear that too. I don't know. Just maybe, let me just.
It was out front. Out maybe someone get in the trash.
Maybe
cans.
Someone get in the trash. But anyway, so.
Hey guys, recycle.
England, recycle. Vote for recycling. Says it's your dad here, but who totally votes.
That's a controversial platform. Can you?
but they, I don't know if they grow or have like an agricultural.
Like fertile land.
Yeah, I don't know if England is like the perfect place to grow weed because it's very wet there.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, I highly doubt they've been making like the aggressive push to legalize because usually the reason you do that is because there's high potential for growing it.
Yeah.
They'll grow indoors and it'll create jobs. And
well, maybe eventually. But I think also the EU is in a bit of a complicated place. I think the EU weed is still like largely, it's like illegal, but I don't know. There are bigger issues with the legalization of marijuana, I think, in the EU because you're dealing with like migrants and hash and there's kind of a bunch of other things. And so I think that like Canada, it's a little bit of a no-brainer because it's like you're right by America. Your most popular cities and basically the main places of your population are Vancouver and Toronto and Montreal, and those are on the coasts and those are right by places that are already legal. So, and they have plenty of opportunity to grow. And, you know, I know that California didn't have quite as much tax as they would like from the weed thing. I think they had like $50 million or something like that.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it's taxed so high. Like if you go into any of the weed
never
stores.
Never enough.
Dude, if you go into any of the weed stores, it's 35% tax on marijuana.
That's so fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's really insane. So
I'm just going to go back to my drug dealer.
Well, that's what's happening. It's going back into the black market. And And it's, but the thing though, is like,
I don't, just for the record, I don't even know a drug dealer.
Yeah, I don't know any either. But, but if
I'm
you're,
sure
if,
I could Google
if,
it.
Yeah. If you find one, let me know because I'm looking.
God.
I'm not looking. But you're never going to be able to snuff out the industry because if you go into any of these weed stores now, it's like the designs, the products,
the Apple
like it's
store.
Fucking, it is like MedMen, who is the most popular by far, or at least kind of is like the chain of
I feel
Los
like
Angeles.
They picked a terrible name with using the word men in it. Like it seems a little bit old fashioned. I just was like,
yeah, I don't
man,
really know
this,
why they did that
in this culture of sort of equality and everything and men
well,
and women's rights. Like, why would you pick the men thing?
I wonder if it's like a Pep Boys thing where it's like it's kind of based on the guys who started it.
It's a pun, Mad Men.
That's true.
But
see?
Yeah.
But then
that
you're
was
facing
like a 1950s marketing.
Yeah.
I don't see the. I don't know. I feel like anyway. That, I sort of stopped and paused at the name. Like,
I mean,
for such a big company.
I agree.
That's gonna be around because they're pretty legit.
Yeah, Med Bay.
Yeah, Med Zed.
But anyway, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Canada and kind of the economy of it all.
Yeah,
because I think that in the U.S. I don't know where you can go with weed in terms of like the product getting better. I feel like we've kind of gotten pretty up there in terms of like this is a very good product.
There's probably a patch you could wear.
Well, there are innovations within weed that I think there's plenty of room for that, but I don't think you can be like, we've made a better weed than all the weed out there. It's kind of like, I don't know, man, all the weed out there is already pretty, whatever you want to call good, I think we've kind of gotten to that point,
sure.
Right? But there are plenty of opportunities for things like patches or like the hemp industry and fabrics and all those things that I think are bucketed in this illegal thing. Plus, like, CBD is really interesting, I think, particularly for opiate abuse. I mean, if we didn't have, like, fucking Saint Nick himself as our general or our attorney general right now, then, like, we would actually realize that CBD is not some fucking old-fashioned, you know,
fuck
weed
old
thing.
People, bro.
I hate baby boomers, dude. I'm so fucking against baby boomers. You know my stance on that.
Greatest generation.
Get me started. Anyway, so Canada's doing that this week. They're good people, and they're nice to people.
Yeah. Colin Kaepernick's
kind of.
Legal team.
And poutine.
Oh, we're going back into the top of the week, or you want to start talking about the sub?
I just think Colin Kaepernick's legal team's going to subpoena Trump.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't know what... I guess he can say no. He's the president, but...
I don't know if you can.
I don't know.
Subpoenaed.
I don't know if you can either, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
what?
I'm not sure.
Because now Trump sort of pulled himself into that argument.
I mean, the people that are potentially most... likely going to pull down this president are a porn star and a professional athlete, which is hilarious.
That's so fitting.
I know, it's so fitting. But anyway, so let's talk about Mr. Raj.
Yeah, the Church of Rogers. So the Church of Rogers was started as a subreddit, was started 3 years ago. And the rules are really, really simple. Be a good neighbor, first and foremost. The subreddit's a safe place for people to say what they want and need to say without judgment or fear of ostracization. So try to emulate Fred Rogers. The second rule is that it's not an actual church and any denominational church conversations
which is a bummer.
Should go elsewhere. It should be a real church.
I mean, it should. I mean, this is how religions start.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So it's been around for a while. A lot of people have looked like Mr. Rogers has kind of become this ideal in our country, like just among people who were fans and people who are learning about him now. It's like he's less of a human and more of a...
He's mythological.
Yeah.
And really quickly, this is Church of Rogers or the Church of Rogers?
The Church of Rogers.
Is it plural or is it singular?
The Church of Rogers.
And it's he doesn't have a D in his name.
No.
Okay.
And is there a Z at the end?
No.
Are there three Z's?
There are no Z's.
Okay, so just like the Church of...
The Church of Rogers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's it.
Fried and I are illiterate, just in case you forgot.
No worries. So what's cool, though, is that everybody's been, you know, everybody is a fan of Mr. Rogers for the most part. I don't think a lot of people can have a negative thing to say about him.
Right.
But he's become, like, kind of a larger-than-life character, and... At Sundance earlier this year, they premiered a documentary called Would You Be My Neighbor that has gotten great reviews. It's currently at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Zang, dude.
No.
And who plays Mr. R?
So it's using real footage, right, like from the past.
Right?
And
oh, but there's a real movie coming out too, right? So I'm getting confused.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks is playing him.
Oh, my God. That's
that
great.
That is so perfect.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought that's what... But so, got it. Cool.
But Joanne Rogers is in there, which was his wife. You've got... It's just... Just like the whole crew. Basically, what they did is they took old footage from the show and any like other things, and have people talking about pretty much the arc of like how this show was so revolutionary, even though it seemed like Sesame Street to some people. But he was way ahead of his time in a lot of ways, which we will get into.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, which I'm sure you'll want to talk about, but his. I think it was in a Senate hearing where he's asking for public financing, which a lot of people went around Reddit a little while ago, and it was this fantastic speech he gave, and you're like,
yeah,
damn.
It's amazing. Yeah. And that's one of the three big things that I think show how revolutionary he was, is the Congress talk. He was like very, very concerned about the kind of content that children were getting in this country, and to take funding away from PBS would mean like diluting that even more. So he gave like a great speech to Congress about it. I think they ended up winning that one, and they didn't defund it at that time. Another one of the things that I think make him really, really revolutionary is he actually sued the Ku Klux Klan. I never knew that.
Amazing.
So basically, in Missouri, some group of KKK members they set up this phone number that if kids would call it, it sounded exactly like Mr. Rogers saying horrible racist things. And like the rumor went around the neighborhoods and all of that.
Wow.
So
that's a cool old rumor that would have gone around when you were a kid. Like,
right.
Hey,
dial this number.
Yeah. Mr. Rogers says shit. And you're like, yeah, this
is
about as good as we get.
Right.
And
it's like pre-internet.
You'd like work up 15 cents to make phone calls. You have to return bottles and stuff
Think
for like a week.
That.
Man, life used to be so simple and kids had to really earn it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, prank calls in general used to be so dope.
You would get a pizza, some soda, you hang out with your buddies, and you'd prank call for hours.
And you'd send pizzas and sodas to strangers.
Yeah.
Until
they'd be like, we didn't order this. Be like, well, it says you did. You'd be like, rotten kids.
We didn't order
15 anchovy zas.
What?
I mean, that is like one of the greatest, and I know we're kind of getting off the rails here a little bit, but that is one of the greatest pranks that you can pull on somebody just ordering 15 pizzas to their house. Because it's like kind of... It's like annoying, but also kind of cool because you're getting a bunch of pizza and you're wasting food, which sucks. But also you're like, it's better than like a flaming turd on the doorstep where it's like proper dangerous type shit. You know what
I mean? God.
You know, did you guys watch the new documentary on Netflix about the guy who got the bomb strapped to his chest?
Yes. Yeah, amazing. Evil genius.
Evil genius. What if you accidentally illegally ordered a pizza to somebody's house and then happened to be those people and then they blew him up and you'd be like, oh my God, that
like,
prank went terribly
wrong. You're like, I am now involved in this entire scheme somehow. Jesus.
We were just pranking.
Right.
It was a prank.
Was
I
a
don't
goof.
Even know those people.
I love when people do that where they get strangers involved in crimes by just telling them.
Yeah.
It's like now you're a part of it. You'd be like,
you're like,
I didn't opt into this. You just happened to blurt to me that you murdered a man and now I'm fucking...
Now you know.
I'm going to get subpoenaed.
Yeah. Jesus.
Cool. Well, Mr. Rogers was involved with none of that.
Yeah.
Because
no,
he kept his nose
none of that.
Clean.
That is actually the thing that I find most interesting about Mr. Rogers. And I think this is kind of the grand anomaly of Mr. Rogers. And I would also put Bob Ross in this category.
Mm-hmm.
I think both of them are very similar in this context. And I think they both are part of the same time period. They both represent kind of the same thing, which is like simple living, simple luxury, simple like kindness and human ethic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, like, I heard a story the other day about how, like, apparently, Bob Ross used to get a ton of fan mail, and he would respond with them, and then if he didn't hear from somebody in a long time, he would actually call them and make sure they were okay.
No way!
It's like shit like that you're just like, fuck, man.
Like, decent human beings.
Yeah, decent
like,
human stuff, and then also,
people.
You would see, like, there's some good footage of him, like, he always had those... he would have like, he would open segments with like a baby squirrel and would be like, this is a baby squirrel I found on my porch yesterday.
And it's and
just, you know, it was a little malnourished, so I'm taking care of it. I named him Rudy. Here's blah, blah, blah. Now let's get to painting. And you're just like, fuck, man. How
things have gotten really cynical. I mean, I'm probably overly cynical, but I think in sort of like media in the 90s, like sort of late 80s, 90s, 2000s, commercials, TV shows, comedy, like things got like mean and cynical and
totally,
and they weren't earnest anymore and nobody was sincere.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't cool.
And nobody, and these guys were those things,
just sincere,
I mean?
And earnest all the time. And like you could make fun of them, but they're like, that's fine.
But
and it was these really nice moments and they're kind of less and less. And I don't, you know, I mean, John Stewart was pretty earnest and sincere.
Well, he was in his own weird way.
He meant it, and I think people sort of reacted to some of that, and like he was.
Well, he is earnest and sincere in this strange way where he is also cynical and self-aware, but also doesn't really harm anybody. He just does it for satire. But like,
but he knows he's doing it, and, and I think he's using it as a tool. But he's also earnest and sincere as a tool. And what you like more about him isn't the cynic; it's the sincerity.
Yeah.
And that's what made him so popular in a way.
Right.
And like Mr. Rogers is probably the same. It's like after you get past the fact that it's this old guy like hanging out with kids, which you're like, something got me up here, and you're like, no, he's just doing the right thing, and you're like, okay, cool.
That is what is so frustrating about modern society, but also empowering and exciting about Mr. Rogers is the fact that like I love the idea of there being a world where you could just be nice to kids because they're people and you're just
and
taking
you care
of people
about
right?
the nurturing
and like, but I feel like there's and for good reason we're in this society now where we're really like if I were to go to a park and some kid actually this happened to me
you would get tased
I would get tased but it would
because
like,
you look like Terry Gross.
Because I look like Terry Gross. I mean, this actually happened.
If anybody doesn't know what Dad
looks
like.
About a year ago now, or about, you know, like several months, I was just playing basketball at like a park. I was just by myself. I was just like shooting around for exercise.
Still trying to dunk, huh?
Still trying to dunk.
Yeah.
But I was just doing it for exercise. And a kid came up to me who was probably like 8 or something, maybe younger.
Yeah.
He was alone He was like kind of wanting to play with me and like wanted to like play one-on-one with me or whatever. And I was just like, yeah, of course. Yeah, let's play, buddy. Let's have a game.
I'm definitely going to win. So,
but it was like one of those things where, and then like his dad came along and I could tell his dad was like super like, who the fuck are you, man? And I was just like,
you have a look too, though.
Yeah, I do have a look, but also it was like, I don't want to live in a world where the first assumption is nefariousness.
Yeah.
And that was the thing about like Mr. Rogers is like, you know, in the back of my mind, I mean, I think we always talk about this, especially with the Me Too movement and a lot of the kind of things that are going on in our world where you're just like, dear God, please don't let somebody come out and go, Mr. Rogers, like, touched me when I was a kid.
That would destroy everything.
It would destroy everything. And it's also, it's one of those things where
I don't think he's that guy.
I don't think he's that guy either. But we are in a world where that's the instinct.
Yeah, that's like your first thought when you start talking about him is like, oh,
what a creep.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, what kind of adult man just wants to hang out with children all day? And it's like, that shouldn't necessarily be creepy, like,
I mean, it kind
by its
of
own definition.
Be people in general. I feel like that's kind of the thing that you want people to be like, is you want people to be able to like hang out with a kid and be like, let me tell you a couple things, young man. You know what I mean?
He was doing it. He was doing it pretty publicly, so it didn't seem creepy.
Yeah.
Well, but
I mean, some people still say it, but really what he was doing is he was just so innocent, you know?
I know.
And he really did believe that, like, the most important thing to learn as a kid is kindness.
Totally.
And that's something that's so lacking in, like, just traditional educational environments. But he, like, really did believe that kindness could be taught to children, and I really think it can. Like,
I definitely think it can.
It right?
Like, well, but it's you know, there's it. We are kind of in that the yin and the yang is a real thing, and I feel like we are as a society we're over indexing on one side of the equilibrium.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think we're crucially lacking some of these aspects, right? And I think that, you know, we see that with everything. I mean, we see that with like everybody's idea of their own moral code or their ethical code or whatever.
Yeah.
can you can think that you're doing the right thing and then actually be creating a really hostile, toxic, judgmental society for people. Mm-hmm. So like even something like I heard somebody say the other day, which I haven't heard this phrase, but it totally made sense, is like the idea of free range parenting is coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because for a long time, and obviously we live in a city and, you know, like Freed, you have a son, you have a very young son. It's like you're not going to let your son just like play in the street. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like I grew up playing in the street. Right?
Yeah.
And it like totally shaped my adulthood as much as my childhood. And it was like a lot of it was about how I socially interacted mm-hmm. in isolation with other young kids.
Yeah.
Some adults, whatever, where of course there's always like stranger danger. See a guy in a van. Mm-hmm. Don't take his candy. Like there are some basic rules, but also we've come to a point in our world where it's like we have leashes for kids and we have like,
yeah,
you if
and
you,
bad things can happen. But yeah, like that's part of developing as a human
totally
being.
Part of developing. It's part of just understanding sovereignty in general and also understanding, like, I mean, it's like what you always hear about when people travel for the first time,
yeah,
where all of a sudden they go, I used to hate Indian people, but now I find out they're okay. Right.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you never meet a, I don't know, like a fucking 7-foot Slovenian man,
yeah,
and your parents are always like 7-foot Slovenian men are dangerous,
yeah,
right? Then you're gonna end up hating 7-foot Slovenian men for the rest of your mm-hmm. life instead of like
your
meeting
world
one in
is
the park.
Your parents' world,
totally
then.
Meeting one in the park and being like,
fuck
nice guy,
you, dude.
I like his son became a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where you just don't
mm-hmm.
don't realize. So the reason I bring that up is because I just feel like Mr. Rogers again is just one of those things where it sounds traditionalist, but it's more that it just harkens back to a time that we have forgotten where your first instinct intellectually isn't necessarily the correct assumption about a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Like, just because he hung out with kids, he's not some, like, creepy pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, he might have just been a good dude
mm-hmm.
who was trying to take care of humans.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Got it. Now, what the hell happened at that Congress meeting?
So, yeah.
Do you want to explain the precedent of that?
Yeah. So first of all, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was on PBS. And in Washington, D.C., they were trying to cut the budget
for public television.
The men. The Illuminati.
Tricky Dick Nixon. He was the guy behind it, which is kind of interesting.
Tricky Dick Nixon.
Because there's been a lot of stuff on the news because we've been voting about 1969 politics,
yeah.
And I think people are drawing parallels to Trump, but Nixon was trying to slash the budgets for public broadcasting,
yeah,
and that's what this hearing was about.
Yeah, and it's mainly because the Vietnam War was still going on, so they were trying to find any way to cut budgets for everything under the sun so they could put more money into this fucking war. So he actually went to Washington, D.C. and gave testimony in support of PBS. And there's a video of it. It's great. You guys should check it out. But basically what his point was, and I quote, "This is what I give, an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he's unique. I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just you're being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. I think that it's much more dramatic that two men could be working out their feelings of anger, much more dramatic than showing something of gunfire." So he originally hated TV, which is why he created Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Right.
I think when I was like looking through, there was a post that kind of explained exactly what he was like, what got his start. It was posted by Charlie805, and he basically turned on the TV, and the first time he ever saw it, he was watching people like throw pies in each other's faces so that everyone would laugh at them.
Oh my God.
And it made him sad. Like, this guy's just the sweetest, and he was like, this medium can be used for much better than that, and let's use it as a vehicle for good.
I mean, that message alone, I think, is so powerful.
Yeah.
The fact that, because it's so easy to mm-hmm. be able to be like, this thing is wrong. I don't like this. I'm going to turn my back to it. I can't stand it. And then having somebody be like, this thing is wrong. I want to make it right.
Yeah.
It's just like nobody does that. You just
know.
Don't hear about that kind of behavior. And, and we're all guilty of it. I'm not saying it's like I am of all people, certainly not somebody who I think does that very well. But I think it's just another, like, the way he lived his life is as profound a message of how to be a good neighbor, like he always claimed, as much as the contents of his show.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
He probably had opportunities to buy, sell out, get Corvettes,
get
the hot women.
So he
played the long game of it all and like never really deviated from the course.
Which in
Hollywood or success, not Hollywood, but success, it's hard to sort of stick to the guns of it all and be like, nope, this is what we do. And again, back to Jon Stewart, I don't know, it's not an equal comparison, but like he always like stuck to his guns and didn't
So hard to do.
Five days a week for years and years, and you're like, man, like you really can start to rely on it in a way
Seriously.
That feels comforting. So when it goes away, you're like,
damn. And imagine being like so passionate about something so pure and good, like providing quality, positive content that makes people, like, makes kids proud to be who they are. He said, I'm very much concerned about what's being delivered to our children in this country. And that's why he started. Like, I hate a lot of stuff, but I am the kind of person that's just like, well, fuck it. Yeah.
Totally.
I'm like,
jogging.
It's all is lost. Like, whatever. There's no coming back.
I mean,
but he
almost
saw,
everybody's like
that.
Yeah. Like, that's the case.
It's really a rare person like Fred Rogers that sees that and is like, well, I'm going to put some positive things out into the world to balance this. He wasn't fighting to take certain things off TV. He was just like, people need a positive outlet too.
Yeah, they need an option. I think that's the thing. Is like if you're creating an option, and of course the market is always going to, the market meaning I think the broad way in which we kind of sort things democratically and capitalistically, where, you know, things that people enjoy, they sort in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in modern, you know, you see this in modern times. Yeah. And if you'd see a show like this, I mean, this is on PBS, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was is a Pittsburgh public broadcasting, I think.
Yeah.
So it's kind of regional, weird, very localized, you know,
and improvised. Like
improvised
the whole thing.
It feels
when you speak really slow, you can improvise.
That's the key. That's the only rule they teach
just
in improv
never
class.
Never
right?
plan anything,
and you'll
never screw
fine.
up.
You are good.
But
you're
good. But I think in modern times, like, you just can't imagine this succeeding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can see it kind of getting bought up.
Mm-hmm.
You can see him never having funding. You know, there's a lot of reasons why this would struggle. And I think we desperately need something like this. I mean, I think it's not even anything vaguely close, but I think there's this really bizarre comedian named Joe Pera. I don't know if you guys know Joe Pera.
No.
He has this, he's an Adult Swim guy, but his whole kind of character is as like a, his character, I don't think it's a real character. I think it's just something made up, but it's a high school music teacher who lives in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
The UP.
Yeah. And he's just this really, he's got this extremely soft spoken voice. He talks about like really strange things. Like he'll be like, you know, there's nothing I love more than harmonizing with my voice. It's like stuff like that. It's just like really simple.
That's
like
beautiful.
He loves like pancake breakfasts and like shit like that. And he has a special on Adult Swim called Joe Pera Talks You to Sleep.
Damn.
And it's literally just like an animated version of him with like beautiful ambient music in the background talking in his like normal cadence.
Yeah.
That's
about
awesome.
Just simple shit that kind of puts you to bed. He's like, I like going to the batting cages because it's a really big boost for your confidence, being able to hit home runs.
So you're like,
so it's like things like that are just like adorable, but it's kind of a shtick a little bit. But I think it's a little bit in the model of like kind of a Mr. Rogers level of almost ironic, kind of cool, trendy, simple gentleness.
It's amazing.
We're pretty tapped out right now with our sort of sensory taste buds
in this
day and age. Like everything's CGI and like the movies are fucking crazy in 3D it's on every, you know, tablet phone. So I think
everything's like an escape as opposed to like tuning in and like fully engaging.
Yeah, so you sit down to a Marvel movie and you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, that was in the 90s, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like now you're just, I think you're a little exhausted from it. And that probably is indicative of a bunch of other problems.
I mean, I think most things were, like Marvel movies are, I think, more of a byproduct. Like they are as much a symptom of kind of our over-commercialized society mm-hmm. as much as they are like a detail from it, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're like wandering down the street in Pasadena, or not Pasadena is probably a bad example, like the fucking City of Industries or like one of these kind of outlying California suburban neighborhoods.
Lancaster.
Like, mm-hmm. like as you see a million massive signs for a million chains.
Yeah.
And it's just like stimulus overload. So obviously something like Marvel movies would like do well because it's kind of almost a continuation of like the world that we see every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And something like Mr. Rogers is a lot closer to reading Huckleberry Finn,
right?
Which is like not what people do, right?
Yeah.
So
I watch a lot of Sesame Street now,
and it's
really fucking good.
Sesame Street's amazing.
That's another example.
Yo Gabba Gabba, amazing show.
The messaging's just like clean and fun. They got great guests too. I mean, you'd be like amazed at all the.
I saw Yo Gabba Gabba at Coachella when I went in college.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
So, I know.
Pretty cool.
Did you use your Gap credit cards to get there?
Yeah, definitely maxed out the Gap Visa to get
29% interest rate.
Worth it.
What is it even an interest rate anyway?
I don't even know.
It's cool. Gabba Gabba Yo.
All I know is that I can use it at Banana Republic and Old Navy too, and that's great.
Oh my god,
still paying
so
those off.
So another thing about Mr. Rogers that it's pretty well known, but I think especially in light of where we're at in society today with Black Lives Matter and police brutality, is that he was one of the very first people to have a regular black character on his show in Officer Clemens. So Officer Clemens was the black police officer in the show. And he basically came to this guy like, what's his name? Clemens. What's his first name? Francois Clemens.
What a sexy name.
I know. He was born in Birmingham. He was the descendant of slaves. He lived in what he called the ghetto. And
I'm sure it was a ghetto.
Yeah, I'm sure it was like actually a ghetto. And he wanted to be an opera singer, all this stuff. And Mr. Rogers had this idea of saying like, well, I would love to have you on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as a recurring character as a police officer. And at first he was like, hell, like that doesn't sound good at all. Like the police he knew were sending police dogs on people and spraying water hoses on people. And he's like, why would I want to be a cop? So he managed to do it, and
smart.
He joined the show in 68, only 4 months after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated.
Wow.
So he was the first African-American with a recurring role on a children's television series.
That's amazing.
So
that's like Nelson Mandela shit.
Yeah.
It really is.
He's not, like, Mr. Rogers is not perfect because while he did that, he wouldn't let Clemens come out as gay, like, publicly.
Right.
A little too soon for that.
Yeah, so he wasn't obviously a perfect person.
Well, but that's also contextual at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that's necessarily an excuse, but I feel like we should pick our battles with something
that might
like
have
that.
Broken the camel's back, which was, you know, the public broadcasting situation.
Yeah.
I mean, you also don't want him to become like a leftist propaganda machine.
Oh,
you know what
God.
I mean?
He might have just known that it would be too much too soon and it would have
totally
stopped the whole thing.
And maybe he thought it was weird. I mean, honestly, it is a contextual thing. Like at the time, it wasn't as widely talked about. It's not to say that that outlook is excusable, but it explains why maybe the average person's gut reaction would be to say, oh, no, we don't talk about that.
Of course.
So that's the case.
Throw judgment at something that happened 50 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, I mean, that detail's not the coolest, but it doesn't change the fact that he was extremely radical for his time.
Totally.
And I think the scene that they talk about the most with Officer Clemens is in, I think, 1969. There was an episode where instead of just starting the show and putting on his cardigan, which, fun fact, his mom made all of his sweaters.
What?
All of them.
Can Mr. Rogers get
detail,
more
dude.
Mr. Rogers?
I know. It's like, it's amazing.
It's insane. There's actually, we should talk about the sub, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is, so just for context, too, as it pertains to this sub, the sub is really, we're railing off some facts about Mr. Rogers, but the sub itself is more just in praise of Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
It's kind of one of those things where, like, even the mention of Mr. Rogers, I think, kind of brings people up a little bit, kind of puts them in a good mood. So
there's like moments that exemplify his,
right.
Yeah.
Like his personality and his being. Like, this is just
exactly.
a quick one.
And that's what this whole sub's
there's
about.
There's a four picture box, and one of them it says, "Do you like to draw with crayons?" And then Mr. Rogers has a crayon on a whiteboard thing, and he goes, "I'm not very good at it, but it doesn't matter. It's the fun of doing it that's
it's
important."
Right.
And he's drawing like the crappiest house.
Yeah.
And you're like, but he's like, "It's fine, just draw."
Yeah.
He's
but
like,
you're
it
like,
doesn't
that's
matter.
Basically Mr. Rogers
Do you
in
like
a nutshell.
It?
Yeah. That's a summit. I think
there's a lot of
post.
Those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another post slightly above that. It's actually the same. I don't know, scene in the show, but it says, the title is "I'm not very good at it, but it doesn't matter." And it's in parentheses. It's kind of in meme format. It's like, "How's life going?"
Yeah.
And then you just see the two panels. It says, "I'm not very good at it, but it doesn't matter," with him
I
drawing.
I love that.
So I think there's a little bit of a crossover between like motivational posts and the very popular, what is that? The sub that's like all positive vibes.
Oh,
uplifting
stories
news,
uplifting or news. Yeah, uplifting news.
So it's a bit in this kind of cadence of posts on Reddit or subs of Reddit where it really is. It's a little bit of like the eye bleach, brain bleach thing where you see all this bad shit. The world has gotten you down. There's a lot of reasons to be cynical, and then Mr. Rogers, you're just like, man.
Yeah.
You're just
it's awesome.
Chilling me out. And this is, I think we talked about Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers earlier, and I think Bob Ross, like Mr. Rogers is kind of like the everyman, everybody can relate to this. I think Bob Ross has a little bit of like the obscure artist thing where if you like walked into his den and you saw that he had like a fucking water bong, you'd be like, that's fine.
Yeah.
He's just like a nice guy who's an artist who like is just down with nature and is like into it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers,
that.
Which is great. It's also, I mean, I think especially as an adult,
yeah.
that's great because I feel like it's a little bit more like this just seems like a cool guy.
Right. But Mr. Rogers had like a mission.
Well, he had a mission, but he was also like, he's always been a grandpa. You know what I mean? Like he's always kind of had the vibe of.
He
just is always like, so there's a couple other posts. There's a couple other posts I want to talk about specifically. Mm-hmm. One is he was invited to guest host on Saturday Night Live. And he declined because he was like, I usually go to bed at 10. I don't think I can be up at 1.
Yeah, I don't think I can stay awake that late.
Which is just such an old man thing.
It's so cute.
And it's also just like an accepting ignorance of the things that would maybe enhance his career or enhance his profile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you do Saturday Night Live for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think that obviously it's a huge honor to be invited to do Saturday Night Live, but it's also a huge publicity opportunity. It's a great way to stretch your brand and show the diversity of the characters that you can play, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, you'd be crazy to turn down Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I think most people would be insane to do that.
Right.
But Mr. Rogers not only did it, but he did it with like a... I can't be up that late. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't even and maybe there were more things behind the scenes about like how would you work him into a sketch and would that be good for his image? But like that was the outward reason, which is just so wholesome.
Totally.
Like it's just
I mean that's the word that sums up Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
completely. It's just
so
wholesome. It's just everything he does is so wholesome.
Yeah, it's a and like. I think that is something that the subreddit strives for is it's a lot of people who get together, to share news about Mr. Rogers, for example, the movie coming out, all this stuff, famous things about him, but also just to share, like, ask for advice from people and explain situations where they're like, you know, I try to be a good neighbor, I try to be my best self, and here's my challenge, like that kind of stuff. And it's just such a positive community. Everybody's trying to channel Fred.
It's super nice, and people can't handle it. And so when he died in 2003, all these false rumors started coming out about him.
Oh,
and
God.
So I just found the Snopes through the Reddit that like sort of dispels all the rumors. But the rumors are
God.
Obviously like the big ones, but there's some also, like there's molestation ones that weren't true.
Right.
And then there, but like some of the ones that I actually thought were true, which aren't true, that he served in the military.
Oh, yeah.
And was a Navy SEAL sniper and killed like hundreds of people. That rumor came out.
Oh, my God.
And then another rumor is like the reason why he wears his sweaters is to cover up all his military tattoos. None of it's true.
Oh, my God.
None of it's true. But like, I heard about that shit.
Yeah.
I'm remembering now, going like, oh yeah, right now I was like, oh yeah, he definitely served in the military.
Yeah.
Nope. And also wasn't a sniper. I mean, with military tattoos up his arm.
He didn't serve in the military, but he was a sniper.
He was a sniper though.
Yeah, like, and so I'm like reading about it all, and I'm sort of like chuckling because people just, it was just a little too simple. Like, there must be something going on here. And there's another,
that's crazy.
There's another clip of him flipping the bird, which went around the internet. Yeah. He's got two middle fingers up. And like, the rumor was that he was flipping off the audience in a commercial break. Like, he was actually a real dick.
Right.
But then the story is there's a song called Where is Thumpkin? Oh. And like, that's part of the song where you like do your hands or something. I don't know. This sounds like an old fashioned thing. Right. And that's all it was.
That's Like, he probably doesn't even know what up yours means, you know?
Yeah. I was like, maybe it's a segment of how to teach kids not to flip people off, but no, it's like some, like, you know, Danish kid song.
That is Thumpkin.
And like, he's,
I just, it just makes me, the thing that I, frustrates me so much when I hear stuff like that is like, it just makes me so sad that people feel like they could or should or feel inclined to make up rumors about somebody so nice and innocent and wholesome.
Yeah, tear people down.
And, you know, we live in this world, too, of, like, you can't victim blame. And I never want to victim blame, but, like, if somebody comes up and says, oh, yeah, Mr. Rogers molested me, then, like, we can't, we just can't go, no, he didn't, you fucking liar. Why would you say that, right? You have to go, okay, we'll hear you out. You're going to ruin this guy's image for no fucking reason but gain on your own, right?
But more and more of those claims are proving to be shaky or at least like half-baked. Some of them are real and some of them are half-baked. And so it's actually having an inverse effect where, to me, if it's not true or you're just trying to get credibility or publicity, you're actually now creating a situation where the public going to question every situation more.
Totally.
And like that Morgan Freeman one isn't necessarily, like, he seems like maybe an old creepy old man, but like that's about it.
Right.
And like, I don't know, you know, so.
Yeah, that's, I think it's tough. I mean, I think when people, obviously not all of these accusations are the truth specific, or I mean, statistically, I know some things happen where people, you know, falsely claim things. But I think the majority of people who actually come out and make an accusation publicly and like put their face on it and their name on it are probably not as often trying to fuck around as we might think. But I think that's telling with Mr. Rogers is like, even if these rumors came up, there was no one like literally going to the cops and saying, this happened to me. I'm the one who's going to, you know, and I think it's because it did, like, that's because it didn't happen.
Yeah, right. And I almost don't even want to talk about this stuff because it just, it even to hear his name in the same conversation feels tarnishing. But because of everything in the Me Too movement, and I know with this movie coming out and just kind of the quest for perpetual exploitation of moments and themes, and there are so many fucking crazy people, whatever. If I was the Rogers estate, I would be like fucking litigiously buckled up right now for somebody to come out of the woodwork who's like a fucking meth head who lives in Des Moines and is just like, oh yeah, Mr. Rogers totally touched me. Give me $1 million or I'm going to tell the press.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's just like,
With everything else happening,
I would literally put money on it. Yeah. And I think that when it happens,
we should stone them.
Well, when it happens, it's like, what do we do? Because we live in this time where
it's not like it happened to that other guy that was the family man that we all love so much. Bill Crosby.
Well, but that's part of the reason why it's so easy to make these assumptions and kind of think about these things is because that's part of what makes Bill Cosby also so damaging. Yeah. And that's also what's so nice about Mr. Rogers. It's like, I don't feel like Mr. Rogers ever claimed moral superiority over anybody, right? And that was the thing that Bill Cosby actually did. He claimed moral superiority. He'd be like, black people shouldn't swear, pull up your pants, young man. It was all that kind of shit. And Mr. Rogers was just like, oh, nice
to
meet
yourself.
You. Be yourself.
And
nice to meet
perfect.
You.
And Bing Cosby was making
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby
was making a bajillion dollars. And
totally.
I think without that money element, I doubt Mr. Rogers made
a
shitload of cashish. I doubt he had a donzi like the rest of us.
Yeah, probably not as crazy as Clint's,
which is just kind of a sign of his his intentions. Like his intention wasn't to get. It seems. Pure.
Yeah, you can follow. I think there's a little bit
whoever,
of a money.
Whoever claims they were molested in the next month, I already don't buy it.
I mean, I totally agree with you, but it's also where it's just we live in such a dangerous world rhetorically that I think it's going to be if and when it happens. It's going to be interesting to see how the world reacts, if at all.
Yeah.
Because of the world we're in. Right?
This is the time we push back.
I mean, we would have to. I mean, this is I have this clip pulled up. This is from Reddit. And I think this is one of those things. This is one of the top posts on, I mean, it's top-ish. I think it's like 9 down or something. But it's a bit long, but it's just him talking as an older man. Like at this point, he's late 80s, looks obviously weathered, and this is just like to brighten up your day. And it's like, you know what happens often? I walk down the street and someone 20 or 30 or 40 years will come up to me and say, "You're Mr. Rogers, aren't you?" And then they tell me about growing up with the neighborhood and how they're passing on to children they know. I know. And what they found important in our television work, like expressing their feelings through music, art, and dance, and sports, and drama, computers, writing, and invariably, we end our little time together with a hug. I'm just so proud of all of you who have grown up with us, and I know how tough it is some days.
Yeah.
To look with hope and confidence on the months and years ahead. But I often like to tell you what I often told you when you were much younger. I like you just the way you are. And what's more, I'm so grateful to you for helping the children in your life to know that you'll do everything you can to keep them safe and to express their feelings that will bring healing to many different neighborhoods. It's such a good feeling to know that we're lifelong friends.
Oh, God.
That was a good read.
That's a long gif that just kind of has that at the bottom, and it's just him saying that. But that it's those are just such simple – there's no judgment there.
Yeah.
It's just a simple way to like bring people up with you.
Yeah.
And I think when you think about somebody like Bill Cosby, how so much of him and so much of his identity was about the like, there's one way to do things. And if you want to be right, then you got to do it this way. Right.
Right.
And I know, I think some people argue that like, if you let somebody be too much of themselves and when they're a psychopath, they end up being a psychopath and you don't want psychopaths and whatever. And I understand why people would say shit like that. Mm-hmm. I understand that the moral curve that I think sometimes our world is judged on, where suddenly you're like off the rails and people go, how did we get here? And it was because fucking everybody let people smoke crack whenever they wanted to. But
yeah.
I think in the world we live in now, I think we need the Mr. Rogers message more than ever.
Yeah.
Because of so much moral absolutism where you're just like, I said, hi, nice to meet you, guy. And someone's like, I'm not a guy, I'm a girl, you transphobic pig. And you're just like
oh, God.
Hold on a second.
That escalated fast.
But as much as we have that and the counter, which is like, you look like you love Muslims, right?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
It's Why can't people just take care of people?
And I think his whole thing was never really – that was the first thing I've seen that was directed to adults.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about – it was like directed to adults taking care of kids. And I think the other thing that he always talks about, and which I think is also interesting in terms of his narrative, is he's not really talking about being good parents. He's talking about being good to kids, which I think is also really interesting because I think – you know, like dog and I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. Like Fried has a kid, but like,
not
don't
that you know of
that we know,
right? Dog boobs,
yeah.
That one summer in Spain, what?
One summer in Spain, and the 9 months after that I don't remember. Yeah.
I'm not the mother of your kid.
I don't remember having a kid,
but
or
I don't.
Maybe I did.
I think
maybe that was an indigestion.
Shit.
With. Like the parents thing, I think it's such a different thing because it's so much about like raising your child a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Mr. Rogers' story, it's a lot more about just being nice and inspiring and good to kids.
And like raising a new generation of kind people.
Yeah, but it's not really about, even if you don't have a kid, you can still be good to kids without being creepy and weird.
And knowing that they're going to inherit this world. So
totally.
I would definitely give him chill ass bro status.
For sure.
Totally chill ass bro
so
status.
So that actually is leads interestingly into this one.
I thought you were like, he's a Chad.
No, Chad.
He's
bad.
Not a Chad.
No, he's a chill ass bro.
This one post by G's Maynard. It's kind of fun. Mr. Rogers was one of the best people this world's ever seen. If they brought back his show today, who would come close to being as good as him to host it?
I was thinking about that question.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring that up. I feel like there isn't this on TV now. I mean, Sesame Street's really good, but there's not kind of that one voice. And there's Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is the new Mr. Rogers Neighborhood, but it's animated and it's a tiger and it's the same intro and setup.
Daniel Tiger.
And Daniel Tiger's big in the kid community, guys. And it's cute, but it's all animated, so there's not an actual person.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not as effective. You know what I mean?
It's good. It's like good TV, but it's not as impactful to us adults, probably. But kids are still glued.
Oh.
But
it's like good for parents
could
too.
Fill that role. And I was thinking about one of my favorite movies and scenes in all of my favorite movies. The scene where Maximus Aurelius asks Maximus to be the Emperor of Rome in Gladiator, and he's like, "I don't want to be the Emperor." And he's like, "That's why it needs to be you." And you're like, you kind of want someone who doesn't want the job to be the person to do
right.
it. Like, we all know plenty of really, really great adults who would be great at being Mr. Rogers just because they're nice people.
Right.
But they would never, ever live in L.A. or California.
Yeah.
Probably, like, somewhere else, like, doing their thing, you know, volunteering somewhere. So
you don't want
to do a casting call.
Yeah.
Because those people want the job.
Right.
And, like, you have to approach the guy or girl who doesn't want the job.
Let's throw out some names and see if we can come to a consensus of who we think would be the appropriate. And I don't even mean somebody who, like, is the perfect prototype of Mr. Rogers as much as, like, somebody who we think could fill the role in a modern context.
Yeah. I mean, this is said on this thread, and he's going to play him in the movie, but I feel like Tom Hanks could be really good.
Tom Hanks is good. He has a shithead son, though, right?
Yes.
I think he's a bad dad.
Oh, no.
But I don't.
One of his sons is great, and one of them fell off. So
One of his sons is like Chet Hanks or something.
He's a rapper. Boy. But, I mean, if you have two sons and one of them is fine and the other one's just a piece of shit, like,
play in your
that's what's going to happen.
Over under.
Yeah. There's always.
Over under.
Cain and Abel, man. I mean, it's a story as old as time. And Chet will come back one day and be like, "I love my family."
Well, but there's also like there's a rebellion thing. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know anything about Mr. Rogers' kids. He had kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Or no, actually. Let me see.
Heck, she's a virgin.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wouldn't be surprised.
And a sniper. A sniper virgin.
He wasn't in the military, but he was
a
sniper.
That's what kept him so good.
He has two sons.
So I'd be interested to see how his sons turned out and like what their vibe is. Because I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he had one son who had some serious problems, because it would be really hard to live under that kind of shadow with somebody like that.
Yeah.
Also the preacher's son thing. You always hear about that, you know.
I want to keep talking about this, but this is making me think about potentially like a ripple effect, a bigger implication where Miss Rogers' sincerity and earnestness we all believe is true and good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it made people sort of wake up and realize, wow, this is a great way to reach people on a positive level.
Right.
And then other people started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think people now on TV act sincere and earnest, but they're not being sincere and earnest because it's a tool for them to get your attention. And so you like emotionally buy into what they're saying, and you'll see it with like politicians and stuff.
Totally.
But all the way down to like the anchors on TV. So
I'm
wondering if there was almost this accidental ripple effect of false sincerity that came out of stuff like this.
Of course. I mean, I think that would happen.
And then you think about, you know, casting somebody who's plain sincere who actually isn't sincere would be sort of the concern.
Right.
You know?
Well, let's think about who it could be.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out a name, and you guys are gonna think this is unconventional. But Shia LaBeouf, I could actually see that, to be completely honest,
because
it would be a different kind of message, but I could see Shia LaBeouf.
He's smoking. He's ripping. Well, J&B.
He's just a pretty
could be
like
a great Mr. Rogers for the teen crowd.
He'd be a good. I think he'd be a good Bob Ross type thing.
Ooh, yeah, I could see that.
So, I love that guy.
Ready for this name?
Yep,
Will Ferrell.
Ooh.
Yeah, he seems legit.
Yeah, because
he could.
I think he's the kind of guy. He's known for being really funny, but I also think the way he puts himself out there in public.
Yeah.
I think is in a way that is not pandering.
Mm-hmm.
He feels really sincere and he feels like he's an everyman. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. I think that's the good one.
Yeah. And he's okay to sort of laugh at himself. And
I've got one that it's from the Post, but I think it's kind of funny and I never would have thought of it. Andrew W.K.
Oh, he'd be great.
He'd be really good.
He'd be fantastic.
He'd be great.
Because Andrew W.K.'s whole thing is positive partying.
Yeah, party all the time.
Party all the time.
Be happy, do good things, have fun.
Right.
I love it. Jack Black, maybe?
Jack Black would be a fantastic one.
He'd be good. A little different style, but
well, but again, I think this is, I think it's not about replicating Mr. Rogers. I think it's about finding somebody who can do it for the modern world.
Uh-huh.
Right? And find somebody who is like, is the right example for like what now would be.
Yeah.
I think if you wanted to be a little bit more literal to Mr. Rogers, I think Jack McBrewer would be really interesting.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I think he probably plays the character, but I also think that he, from my understanding, is he's kind of like that anyway. Like
yeah.
He's raised in the South, and he's like a maybe
I feel like it's
got to
be.
Totally.
It's got to be a woman, because that's
well,
how it is.
I would actually
suggest a woman.
I would.
Well,
Lady Gaga.
Ooh,
that's what they're saying.
Yeah. I mean,
no, there's better.
That seems like a very surface level answer. That seems like she suggests positivity, so she should be it.
What
I think it would be. So here's my thing about having a woman. I disagree that it should be a woman. Not anything against women, but I just feel like the role that a like neighbor man plays. I think that kids need to see positive male role model things.
I agree with that,
and I think that there are a lot of examples of like pushing positive women forward for people to see. And we're not really doing that with men.
They already have it with mothers, probably, who
they might have
probably
it with mothers,
by and large taking
yeah.
care of the
but,
kids.
But and just, not to be like anti-man, but it's like a lot of men in this country are growing up, you know, feeling entitled and, you know,
what?
All these
well,
things.
Entitled, but also lost. I feel like there are some that are feeling kind of grown up with entitlement, and there are some that are just growing up with, like, I don't know who I am.
Yeah,
and
because it's hard to find good father figures. It's hard to find all that. And, like, I know, like, everybody's given a different set of challenges, and girls in this country and every country have a ton of bullshit things they have to go through.
For sure.
But I think that's true. I think we're lacking, like, strong, positive, kind, gentle male role models.
Well,
I think
Michael
kind
Strahan, and gentle, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
Michael Strahan's kind of interesting.
He's cool.
Ooh.
He's always laughing around.
But he left Kelly Ripa in the dust.
Oh, did he really?
Wow. Yeah.
What a bitch.
Yeah, because he got that, was it the Today Show? He was on Kelly Michael Strahan's
anybody
show,
on,
and he just left.
Anybody who's making millions of dollars should be probably off the list. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're chasing that paper, dude. Speaking of which,
you guys
to get
know
that Lambo.
The famous YouTuber Review Bra?
No.
So that's somebody that is coming up in this post. So Review Bra, I guess, is this really like genuine, earnest kid that has a YouTube channel where he just like he's trying food and trying this and trying that and just giving honest reviews. And like he has a huge following on 4chan. He has a huge following on Reddit. Just a ton of people love him because he's not trying to be funny. He's not trying to be cool. He's just this like nice, gentle guy who's like earnestly reviewing things. And people
that's
are
amazing.
Like, that's great. So he would be a good one. I mean, obviously we'd have to vet him.
Jake
Paul. But
he
doesn't have millions.
Jake Paul is out.
Yeah. Jake Paul now.
Which post are you looking at specifically?
Let me send it to you. It's the one, Mr. Rogers was one of the best people this world's ever
You know what would be
seen.
The hardest thing about the job? I mean, I think everyone would be like, I'd love to do that job. And you do it for a week. You'd be like, that was nice.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but for the rest of your life, you can't say what you're really thinking.
Right.
Or anything sort of like anything we talk about.
But that's why you need to have somebody who
doesn't have those
think.
Thoughts.
I mean, it's everybody has those thoughts, but I think you need to have somebody who can like recognize. Like, that's why I think
that's
somebody like Andrew W.K. is really good, is because Andrew W.K. is like not shy on parting.
Mm-hmm.
He's not shy on being like a part of that crowd.
Yeah.
He just does it in a way that is like
positive
and not indulging in the negative side of what he yeah. is involved in the world that we live in, right?
What about politics and like some of the progressive attitudes that are too political? Or
someone called out Jimmy Carter. Like, he would be a good
Jimmy
Mr.
Carter
Rogers.
Would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, like, I mean, speaking
raised
of politicians.
On a fucking peanut farm and shit.
What a little angel.
I don't know.
Except is he alive? I mean, he's...
No, I don't think he is. I gotta get moving pretty soon because I gotta go to the mines and...
Gotta go to, yeah, to the mines.
You know, they're gonna wonder where I am.
Oh, you know
that.
What? Here's a really good one. Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Terry Crews is a really fascinating one.
He is. And
have you ever heard his interviews?
He's great. He's so positive.
Dude, he is so... So he did Hot Ones. Ooh. He did Hot Ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's very
inspirational. And it was like almost boring because he was so fucking nice.
Oh my God.
But I was just like, bro, like... Yeah. Give us some something spicy here. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Terry Crews, which is a very handsome and muscular black man, The Rock.
The Rock is interesting. I think like The Rock is very...
He's attention hungry or very, like very into his fame. But he's still very positive and kind to kids and moms and stuff who come to his movie sets. He'll go out of his way to take pictures with them and stuff.
Yeah.
Very, very sweet. He could be cool.
That's good celebrity.
I think he's a good celebrity. I wonder if he's like a sincerely good celebrity, but yeah. He is definitely a good celebrity. I mean, he's like Robert Downey Jr. You think about a little bit in that way where he's like, he's a very good celebrity at being like Iron Man where he'll like show up at children's hospitals and stuff. I wonder if he's actually like that in real life.
Right.
I hope he is, but I mean, who fucking knows? Jeff Goldblum would be interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting. Good,
I think he'd get too weird and metaphysical about God and science.
I mean, I think...
What about Harrison Ford?
Oh, he's so jagged,
just super
dude.
Super weird.
He's like
shooting kids daggers. Like, yeah. What'd you say?
Yeah, totally.
I just asked if I could have a sip of your juice.
He's really gruff.
He's really gruff. I think it might be intimidating.
Try my apple juice, see what happens. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I love that.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
Can you imagine Clint Eastwood hosting a children's show?
Oh, my
God. How fucking horrifying that would be.
Can you imagine?
Especially now as like a 120-year-old man.
Yeah, that would be so awesome.
We'll get you hard like wood, kid.
What?
What?
Aren't you the guy from Unforgiven?
Yeah.
I would actually love Shia LaBeouf in this. I know Shia LaBeouf has some serious problems, but he's also like, I feel like he at his core is a really pure person. And I don't know if that translates to pure good.
Yeah.
But I think in the context of what we need now with what Mr. Rogers was more than anything else is, yes, he was a positive role model, but he was also very about being who you are, whatever you are, and just being okay with it.
Yeah.
And I feel like Shia LaBeouf is so caught up in trying to understand who he is and trying to figure out how he can kind of like share who he is with the world that I think he'd be a really interesting person to see kind of in this role.
If you could keep him sober, not smoking, and not having like a manic blow up on set.
Yeah. But I don't think that's what he does. I think he gets like in fights, but I don't think he like is manic. I don't think he's Russell Brand. You know what I mean?
No, like, he's just shit faced in public and like people probably come at him
maybe.
And he like reacts.
Yeah. I mean,
he seems volatile. Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
Jack, I think Jack Black was also a really nice one.
Will Ferrell's my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one I would watch.
Yeah. Well, and cause again, it's like Will Ferrell just, you feel like.
It's probably too busy.
I mean, he's very busy, but he just seems like the kind of person who, I mean, the other person that we didn't bring up, which I think is probably we didn't bring up because it's so obvious, is Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman, right? Like Nick Offerman again seems like almost too obvious. Where you're just like, he is the everyman. He knows how to do all these things that people should learn. He's all about like, you know, like tuck in your shirt, young man, right? It's like kind of all that vibe.
Sounds good.
I think John
Mulaney.
John Mulaney is really nice. He was a huge alcoholic when he was younger.
That's
so.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's kind of like one of those alcoholics that like the demon's still there. You know?
I feel like he's still got some weirdness.
What if it was Nathan for you?
Nathan Fielder would be amazing.
I want to say an unpopular opinion about John Mulaney. I don't think he's like, I don't know if he's all that funny for me.
Yeah. I think he's
very good at what he does, but to me, it's like too theatrical or something.
I think he has
I can't relate.
Some extremely well-written bits.
Yeah, like, I think too smart for me, and too
he's
much
really
of a
smart.
Theater
mm-hmm.
geek
yeah, I mean, he had that bit. Like one of my favorite comedy bits is that one I think that he did about playing that one song on the jukebox like over yeah. and over and over again.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, it's really really funny. But anyway, so we need to wrap this one up.
I'm going to hell for this is a random. I just
wow.
Oh, I that's...
going to hell for this is pretty. It's a pretty. That's a really popular one, and sometimes it kind of gets taken over by people that you're just like, you fucking Trump nerds.
Yeah.
Right? But then every once in a while, there's a zinger that I just go, I don't want to like it. Yeah. But this is fucking yeah. hilarious.
Sometimes
right?
you'll see things that are so offensive that you're just like, this is perfect for the subreddit.
Totally.
Like, I thank you. I hate it. Like.
God, I saw one the other day that made me laugh that I was like kind of laughing through my teeth, being like, oh,
oh shit, that hurts.
And it was like, I don't oh it was like it was like a Photoshop, it was like one of those like Photoshop this for me pictures.
Oh,
and it was
no.
of it was of like a Civic. It was like a bad shitty beige Civic, and somebody was like, can you make this black for me? Right,
yeah,
and then the guy he put the Civic in the middle of like a riot situation with a bunch of cops kicking it.
Oh my god!
And I was just yeah. like,
you're like, god damn it!
A funny joke, but
and
you're
it's a
fucking monster. Yeah,
and damn,
before, it was a multi-level joke.
Before so. We get out of here, I want to say shout out to PodcastHunter.net.
Ooh.
Oh, cool!
Who gave us a shout out as one of the top new comedy?
Hell
podcasts.
Yeah!
Hey, are
thank
we comedy?
You?
Yeah,
I always wanted
I think
us
we're
to be
comedy.
Educational.
Yeah, we're next. We're next to Scott Aukerman's podcast and a podcast called The Wild Card Podcast.
Oh, hello.
And what else? That was one shout out. And then, dude, Casey Knight popped up on my Facebook feed.
Oh, shit.
He's Casey. Looking like he's just killing it on a mini bike with,
Hope
a,
for show.
With a girl.
Shout out Hope for Show. We're
shout
really,
out.
We are happy that you are happy.
Yeah.
And
dude,
we've
just seen his renaissance. I'm like so.
We've watched the experience,
we're very
dude.
Fortunate to have experienced it.
We're all very lucky. But, yeah, I think shout out Hope for Show, shout out Pod Hunter, shout out Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
PodcastHunter.net.
And shout out my random, which is Pretty Older Women.
Oh.
Oh.
Who's that? We got.
You want to know what the number one is?
Let me, actually, this is a good guess.
Yeah.
How what age demographic are we talking
we're
about?
We're looking 40s and up.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, I feel like 40s isn't even the new.
Anyway. I know.
Are we saying pretty or are we saying like smoking hot vibes?
Like both.
What okay. about... The Perfect 10 girl. Why can't I remember her name? Anyway.
Oh,
you know who I'm
yeah,
talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. I don't know her. The cornrow lady.
Yeah, the cornrow
the white
is
cornrow
with,
lady.
With big jugs.
I don't see her around here. Number one is interesting because it's true.
I'm going to go with Rosario Dawson.
Ooh.
Jennifer Aniston.
Elizabeth Hurley.
E. Hurley.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. She's the hottest.
She is
an absolute.
Bo Derek is what I was thinking of.
She's.
Dude. Elizabeth Hurley is like one of the most perfectly proportioned faces I've ever
oh,
seen.
Oh yeah, look at this body! Too.
Oh my goodness!
Holy jugs!
Get
man.
The f out of here!
How old is she? 60?
Yeah, she's Hold on, she's 52.
I want to look holy. Like that when I'm 52.
No, I want to look like that now. Like
dang.
Holy shit! And then another really good one, Kate Beckinsale. Look how cute!
But she's still
adorable.
44.
She still seems young to me.
She seems way younger than 44.
I mean, think like Kate Blanchett seems in her 50s. Yeah. Like she still seems like she got it.
I'm still very pro Uma Thurman. I think Uma Thurman's absolutely beautiful. I know
these
it's a little bit of a controversial idea, but
I think the conversation here is 60s and up. Like who's still like
Helen Mirren
still like hot. You're like, oh yeah, Judi Dench still got it going.
Oh shit, Dench. Yeah, well,
anyway, all right,
God.
So my random, I'm going to close this one out with DC TV. I don't know what that is. I think it's
DC Comics,
which I don't want to end on that one.
Oh,
it's fucking boring.
Oh, yeah, that is boring. DC's...
I'm getting like Friday style. Oh, Tesla. This is actually,
nice.
Landing on Tesla, this is kind of interesting because Tesla... they tried to have like essentially a fucking coup. They were trying to oust Elon Musk from the board.
What?
And they denied it. So he's still there, but for some, I don't know why.
It's like
the,
when Apple ousted Steve Jobs and everything fell apart. And
it,
he
seemed,
came back.
It seemed like it was kind of one of those moments. So,
wow.
Tesla's always in this weird spot. I feel like their stock, everybody's like, buy, sell, 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 sell,
yeah.
buy. So,
buy our new car. It'll be delivered in a year.
Right.
Hasn't it been 2 years since that?
It's been a long time, dude.
I would have been pissed
if we found out that it was some Elizabeth Holmes Theranos style scheme.
I would love it.
There was no such thing as a Tesla. Tesla and all the Teslas were just like Fords with fucking stickers stocked on.
Oh, I would love that.
That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy shit.
The guy who went to prison for e-waste built a car that runs on an electric battery that goes 900 miles distance. Tesla only goes like 330. So
crazy.
I don't know what's going on there, bro.
Crazy slabs. All right, so we're going to get out of here. We got to get to our respective jobs.
Yep. But you
know
what?
This has been
everyone's job to be kind.
No, that's true.
Hey, wave to somebody today.
Wave to somebody today. Buy a homeless man a coffee. Yeah, like, just be a good person, man.
That's a good thing to have chambered in your back pocket. Hmm. A smile and a wave. Maybe a nice hello.
Ain't that the freaking truth?
And an enlarged graffiti pen that you can
a King Sharpie
vandalize stuff.
Yes,
with. Those are the three things you need to have in your back pocket.
And
all
a glass.
Time.
Yeah, hey neighbor, just put write that on everything.
What
hey
up, neighbor?
Bitch. That should be your new graph name, dude.
Yeah.
Somebody claim
hey
it. Hey neighbor.
Jeez, you know it exists.
You know it exists. All right. This is Did You Read It?
Be good to your fellow human.
And my name is It's Your Dad.
And I'm Dog Boobs.
My free day.
How do we end? We end on...
check us out on...
Well,
don't give up.
Check us out. Yeah, don't give up. That's our catchphrase. Don't give up.
Do not give up.
Check us out. Right. Review. You can hit us up at hi@didyouwriteit.com. Review. Rate. It really, really helps the pod.
Tell your friends.
Be our neighbor. Be our neighbor.
Be our neighbor and don't give up.